Weekend Chapter.
So as promised, we go straight into Success 101 right here on the Weekend Chapter. And you know how we do it. We get to dissect different success topics. And this past few weeks, we've been giving you some interesting topics. And last week, we did touch on the art of negotiating. And the studio was on fire. Well, if you missed out last week, well, thank God the man is back in the easel to give us yet another intriguing topic. So today is, I think it's more personal. Today it's something a little sensitive. And we're talking about forgiving yourself. Mm. So, of course, the question that is coming to my mind right now as I'm even just saying out the topic is, how do you forgive yourself in a success setup? You know, we're talking to success, but then we're coming forgiveness. Mm, you wonder. But, well, let's answer all those questions during the program. We've got the man, Ernest Mvunzi. He's our resident success expert right here on this Weekend Chapter. He comes through to give us this success gem. So, Chief, man, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks for having me again. And thanks, listeners, for logging in and tuning in to your favorite show with the one, the only, Marvin Makeji, the Chief.
All right. He's one of those people who just does that to me. I don't know why. So, Chief, success and forgiveness. We're talking about forgiving yourself here. Mm. All right. So, I'm thinking, of course, everybody knows forgiveness. Forgiving yourself, it can be a little tricky. So I'm thinking, in the context of success, man, how do the two, you know, come hand to hand, so to say?
All right, thanks, Chief. Hey, like you said, today's topic is a bit personal. It touches more on the person doing business than the business being done by the person.
Mm. Okay.
Right. Last week, we talked about the art of negotiation, and we talked about the ills or the sometimes the downs we face in negotiation, right? Sometimes you walk out of the negotiation not being as victorious as you'd have wanted to be, and you hate yourself, and you hate the person who was on the other hand of the negotiation. Let's hold that thought. We go back to the Bible. The Bible narrates the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Mm-hmm. So today, let's forget about those people who trespass against us and put in perspective the times we trespassed against ourselves. Mm. Right. What do I mean? Your question was, how do we... What's the link, where's the symmetry between success and forgiveness? So, success is not a destination. There is no success view where we are going to arrive at one day like, whoa, oh, this place looks nice. Success is a journey, right? What you are picking up along the way is what we call success, right? So, as we journey on this path, journey that we call success, sometimes it's not as rosy and as perfect as we would have wanted it to be. Sometimes we fall short, right? We're in negotiations. We go to the negotiation table hastily. We did not research. We did not know anything about our product, and we were out negotiated and we hated ourselves. That's where negotiation comes, right? Talk to yourself. Forgive yourself. So forgiving, by the way, is an art of negotiation. It's a part of negotiation. Mm-hmm. You're talking to yourself that I messed up. Mm-hmm. For real. Just like how you look at the other person, you're like, they messed me up. But the Bible says, forgive them. So in this aspect of what we're talking about today, you're saying there are some things that you did that made you run a loss in business, or that made you lose an opportunity, or that made you not deliver as best as you could have done. Forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And move on from that. Right? Pick yourself, fall down, but don't leave the... I know you like Les Brown. Les Brown, yes, says you can finish that.
Yeah, of course, Les Brown touches that a lot. And from what I'm picking up right here, Chief, is a situation whereby it's not every time when things go your way. Okay, even in business, in life, everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. And sometimes things happen that you didn't anticipate. He usually says that when things come out of nowhere, you know. And then things don't happen the way you wanted them to. Sometimes, let's say in business, in as much as we might all want to see ourselves as clever and we know stuff, but sometimes we can be conned, and it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can have some very serious consequences, Chief. And maybe your whole business can go down after you were conned in a certain transaction. Okay. Or not just being conned, you can be robbed and things like that. And you start asking yourself, why was I so stupid? Okay. So those are some of the questions. It's easier for you to ask yourself some questions, and you keep having more questions than answers. Okay. So I guess maybe this is the way the art of forgiveness tends to come in, from what I'm picking up, right?
Definitely. And also, hinging on Les Brown, he says, when you fall on your back. Mm. Just because if you can look up,
you can get up.
Right. Sometimes we get so trapped into our failures that we don't see the way out. Okay. I usually say I'm a big forgiver. Personally, Enes Mvunzi, I'm a big forgiver.
Okay.
Right. If you wrong me, trust me, it's going to be easy for me to forgive you. But I've realized that I've messed up in the past, and I've held to my mistakes quite longer than I've forgiven other people who did so bad to me.
Mm.
Right, I'm always revisiting my errors. I'm always, just like you said, like you said something earlier on, like you're always looking back and you say, wow, why was I foolish then? Like, of all the things that I could do with my life, was this the best use of my foolishness? Like, on this, right? I know, like, we all have that degree of, like, but hey, I feel like I'm a bit more gifted in this foolish thing. You hate yourself, right? But I miss that, all that whole shebang that you're going through. Something in that is looking forward to teaching you a lesson.
Mm.
But are you wise enough to see that? So point number one, when you're faced with those low times when you failed, you know, I hope I'm not talking to perfect people right now. Yes, I personally have failed.
Mm.
I have failed. Like, I failed. Yeah, off air, we talked about where I thought I would be by now. And I for the longest time, I considered that a failure. But I realized that, no, it taught me a lesson, right? I now realize that there are things that I shouldn't have done that I did that drew me back on my journey, that slowed me down on my journey of success. That if I had pursued and ignored all the things that distracted me, I would have been somewhere right now. But in this topic, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you guys, that I'm learning to forgive myself. So the first point is, start afresh. But this time, start with wisdom and experience. You are no longer the same.
Okay.
You are a different business person, if you're a business person. You are a different human being if you are just living. You are a different parent if you are one. You are a different sibling, a different son or daughter. By looking back at your failures and building on them and saying, I messed up at this and I won't do it again, that's wisdom there.
Mm.
And by the way, what is wisdom? Wisdom is application. The Bible says we aim for these three things in Proverbs: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is information. Understanding is comprehension. Wisdom is application. So when you fail, that's a free degree to information. Processing your failure, that's you on the journey of understanding. Applying what you learned when you fell down, that's pristine wisdom.
That's wisdom.
Yeah. So when you fall, that's good. It's good only when you pick yourself up, start afresh, learn from those experiences and take it up.
Okay. Chief. Okay. You know what? You touched on something when you said that you personally, you consider yourself a
someone who failed before.
A forgiver.
Yeah.
Or someone who's good with forgiving. Yeah. But then somebody, I remember when I was doing what they call temperaments. Uh-huh. They're saying that there are those who are, naturally, we've got people who forgive easily than others. Okay? Those who are in the, these temperaments whereby they're usually people who talk a lot. These ones, they forgive easily. Okay? They call them extroverts. Okay? They say that extroverts, you can have a problem with them in this minute. And then by the next minute, they are all sorted and they're actually laughing and things like that. You know, as though whatever happened didn't happen. And then you've got introverts. Okay, these are the quiet type. These ones are very sensitive. You say something to them in 1990. Okay, let's talk of 2000s these days. In 2000, 2022, they still remember that Auntie so-and-so provoked me when I was a new bride in this family. She said, this Makoti, she doesn't look like she knows what she's doing in the kitchen. She still holds that grudge till today. All right. So this forgiveness situation, to me that analogy seemed true from what I'm seeing, that we've got different type of people and they respond differently to things. You see? So now, when this art of forgiveness now, what do we do if we're dealing with somebody who's an introvert or we're dealing with an extrovert? I think, do we not need to put it into that perspective? Like, you know what? I think I need to understand who I'm talking to. What kind of a person is this? And how do I approach them with this subject of forgiveness? Even if we're talking about them forgiving themselves.
Splendid question. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay, I hope I'm not putting in your corner, but I always approach forgiveness in that context. Like, I think it depends on who I'm talking to.
It's good. Putting me in a corner, like it provokes responses that also the people on the outside would want to get. You touched on something that I'm so passionate about, the four heuristics. Personalities.
Yes.
Right. We have the melancholic people. Right. Above and beyond what personality traits we harbor and what we hold, the first question that I would want to ask is, where are you going with this life?
Okay.
Right. Hope our listeners got that right. Where are you going with this life? Right, point number one. Point number two, what do you want out of life?
Okay.
Right. Okay, Chief, where am I going with these two questions? I'm putting it in perspective of what you can forego unknowingly over something big. You can hold on to something that's seemingly, in quotes, seemingly big, and you lose on the big mark. Because we've held on so much to something that defines us. And by the way, I always say this, I think I'm going to do a series called They Lie to Us. There are a lot of things that we were told that really are lies. The sky is not the limit. And you are not limited to one heuristic. Personalities can be merged. And you can take advantage. I think next session, please, when we start the show, I'm going to open with quotations from the book Personality Players. It talks about these personalities. You can merge them to your own advantage.
Okay.
Right. So, to the analogy that you gave about the Makoti who's just gotten into the family and she was treated badly and she's holding on to that. My question is, are you not belittling where you want to go by over magnifying something that happened to you? Yes, it's big. Yes, it hurts. But are you not sure that it can deter you from advancing so far in your family relationship than what you're thinking? We are wronged left, right, and center every day. Jesus, the man, went through the most. He had to become a human so that he can embody what we can face here right now on earth. Right? So, my advice, which is not, again, a fact, which is also a personal thing that I would want to share. Let's not block ourselves from the greater that can happen in life by holding on to the things that we can let go of. Yes, it hurts you, but can't you move on? Talk, like, you have that introspective talk with yourself and ask yourself, where am I going with this life and what do I want to get? You don't want to knock out of this earth holding on a grudge with someone, and that's what held the greater part of your life whilst you're on earth, and you could have done the best with the time that you had with that person. I say this statement with a broken heart. I've attended so many funerals where you see the people who are crying the most, then you hear the next morning that no, they are crying just because they did not settle their grievances with a dead person. You know, these grudges are so good holding while the next person is alive. I'm telling you. When the person dies and you did not sort it, it will mess you real bad. So the question still comes. What do you want out of life and where are you going with this life? Stop blocking yourself with the things that you are imposing yourself. That guy who was seated by the gate was waiting for people to push him in the pool. He was the only thing blocking himself going there.
Really? Why would you say that?
He said they are not. You know, when you depend on people for the next advancement, you are doing yourself a disservice. How many things can you do for yourself before the next person jumps in? I think a lot of fights that we have in families what's the English word for that? Let me say, I don't know if it's a word, but they are perception-based fights. You are fighting over what you perceive the next person thought about you. But trust me, five years down the line, fast forward time, that person, unless they hate you that much, they have maneuvered from that thought a while ago. So the point that I'm saying right now is, what you can do with this life is bigger than holding on to the small things that are happening. Trust me, being wronged, if you're a Christian, you can understand this. Being wronged is of little importance over what you can lose by holding on to that that grievance.
All right. That's quite something. I think, like we say, this is a very sensitive one.
It is.
This one gets personal. And, you know, it touches on different aspects of our lives. The business, social, you name it. We've got so many who even grieved a church.
Yes.
You know, the place where you probably think is the last place that somebody is supposed to be wounded. They can get wounded. And some people are still holding on to grudges and things like that. So, of course, sorry for diverting you a bit into the personal space too much. I know you were talking too much on the business side of things. So if you can just give us that side, maybe that we had sort of like veered off from a bit.
No, like we're still on the path.
Mm-hmm.
We are. Remember when we said today we are talking more to the person who is doing business. Than the business being done by the person.
By the person, okay.
Right? This was Success 101. We've hammered so much on the business side. And we seem as if we forget the person in the business. So not digressing there, we were still in line. I think we'd also want to talk about depower the errors and empower the opportunities.
Okay.
Right. Many a times we empower the errors and depower the opportunities.
Okay.
Goes back again to the topic that we were just dissecting a while ago. Hey.
Okay, even you are failing to just to find the right words.
I am.
For the first time.
I'm honored to have in the studio today one of my oldest friends. We've had a journey together. Right. I'm saying this on air. We once got to a point where we fought. Right. We fought. This by the way, this is not a physical fight. He knows. He's here. It bruised our relationship so bad. But I'll tell you this. We are, and by the way, guys, I have to say this and holding my chest and in promise, and God is listening. This is not a makeup story. Our relationship was on the rocks. Could have died. But talking straight up, facing what had happened between us, facing it, holding it by the horns, saved this friendship. Today, I can proudly say, we are way better than what we were. Actually, he's no longer my friend. We now brothers. It morphed from being friends to being brothers. Why did I say something that's personal, and why am I putting my friend out in the open like that? It's because sometimes we hold on to the small things. Trust me, when it happened, it was big. It was big. But looking at it back right now, I'm like, I've grown more as a person having him around than what I would have lost if we had separated the ways back then. So what I'm saying is, sometimes we empower the errors that we do to each other, to one another, and we depower, I'm not sure if it's a word, we depower the opportunities that we can get by being one, by being in unison. So trust me, when I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm not talking about something that I read. I'm talking about something that I lived. Something that I live. I've also been forgiven by my friends. If the other one would have been here, he would have been saying the same thing about me. But today I'm saying this about also a friend who did this to me. Right? So it's a circle of people who understands and who understood that we are bigger than what we can do to each other. We are bigger than that. So you can only forgive yourself better when you know how to forgive the next person. Trust me, guys, that person you think you don't need might be holding the keys to that door you've been knocking on forever. And like we talked last time, sometimes swallow thy pride, KJV version.
All right, so you have to speak it in the KJV language, yeah. By there. I think from what I'm getting is this: to err is human, as long as we live, conflicts and misunderstandings and fallings and things, bad things happening, always. Are part of us. Are a part of us, and we can never run away from that.
Yeah.
I like the way Lot and Jacob solved their thing. I think he did some very, very, very what can I say, noble, what you call it, it's called there's a fancy way of saying it. The way it is kind of like they call it conflict management. All right, he told his nephew Lot, you know what, you and I are relatives, okay, so let's not let this whole thing with the pastures and the shepherds get in between us. Okay. They took the problem And I think this is the magnifying, depowering thing that you were talking about. You could have literally told Lot, you know what, Lot? You're a boy that I've kept at my doors, in my house, ever since you were young. I'm the one who was called by God, and I don't need you to start causing trouble in my camp.
Exactly.
And you could have said that. You know what? If you think you're not too big-headed, and your shepherd boys, I think you've got it all now. I think you can just head your own way. But no, that's not what he said. You know what, Lord? You and I are brothers. We're relatives. Okay. We've got so much big land out there. We don't need to fight over land. You can just choose one way. I choose another. Okay. So that's a man who knows that, you know what? What's more important here is our relationship with my nephew. Okay. I don't need to say any kind of stuff to him that is negative. What we need to do is to see the problem and solve it in the best way what possible. The problem here is grazing land. What do we do with grazing land? We just need to make space so that you can have enough grazing land. I have enough. Okay. That's all. Okay. As men, we solve it. I guess sometimes I think that point now that you were talking about makes sense in the sense that, you know what? Yes, what he said to you or whoever did what they did to you. But let's look what the problem was. We've got so many people, especially on our Shona couch as well, having fights over a house or a space or land. Okay, look, let's just talk about it. What is it? I've got my family, you got your family, and we're brothers. Let's solve this thing amicably. I think it's something that we need to learn from. Every time people talk about forgiveness, I think about that story. He belittled the problem to that extent that it built their relationship. And when Lot was taken away captive, when Sodom was taken over, Abraham was the first person to go and defend Lot and to rescue Lot, so to say.
Definitely.
Okay, why? Because their relationship was solid, despite the challenges they had faced in the past. So imagine if Abraham had still had that problem with Lot, and go like, you know what, this is the boy who thought he was too big-headed. Let him die, and you take care of himself. They don't bother me. But he took an army and rescued Lot. So that's powerful. I think that's what I'm getting from what you're saying right here.
And I think you just put the icing on top of the cake. I'm not a baker, but I think that's what it means. Relationships are our greatest resources. Just because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Only God does. So let's not be foolish. And someone might be saying, hey, you guys were talking, you're getting personal today. Like, where's the success? You don't, like, that person we are fighting might be your next business partner. Might be the person who's going to be your biggest customer. You might be their best supplier. So let's always maximize on the relationships. And I think in closing, I would like to say this one statement. You win before the battle begins, because all the battles are won and lost in the mind. Right? I think with regards to forgiveness and forgiving yourself and forgiving others, is many of the battles that we're fighting are mind battles. So win those battles before they even get to the physical ones. Right? If you see that, I think with this argument, we're going to fight. Hold the thought, and you use the word amicably. Put yourself in an amicable state of mind and see yonder. Yo, today I'm speaking Bible terms. See yonder.
Yes.
Yes. Think beyond the abyss of the bad things that can happen, and just try and win these battles before they begin. Just because, trust me, guys, we need each other. We need each other for progress and for support. We are living in so much of tumultuous times that we're going through a lot. Depressions are high, left, right, and center. Stresses, the economy, pandemics. The worst thing that we can do to the human race is being against each other. Mm. We already have a lot of forces that are against us. Let's unite and let's be one people, I think. And those, I think, are close.
Okay, so like we say today, it was a bit personal, and we're talking about the business that is being run by the person who's running the business. If that person is not happy or they're still holding on to something negative, that means it will affect almost every aspect of their lives, including business. Okay, and success will be stalled because of something that is, that could have been dealt with, so to say. So, Aish, thanks so much to the chief once more for coming through, and this time with a very personal one, which is talking about forgiving thyself. Okay, so maybe you cannot forgive yourself only, but it's also good to forgive others. So stay with us right here on The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.